Hello everyone and welcome to English Evening on China Business Radio. This is Dong Ning. 大家好，欢迎来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。今天为大家介绍的电影片段是足球老爹 Kicking and Screaming。This film is a 2005 comedy film directed by Jazz Dalen, starring Will Ferrell. It focuses on exploits of boys' soccer team and their new coach.
足球老爹讲述的是一个长久以来萎靡不振的小小足球队崛起夺冠的故事，每个人都从中上了重要的一课，例如输赢的真正意义、团队合作精神等等。同时影片还掺有很多的喜剧元素，令人捧腹大笑。麦克迪克塔在片中表现不俗，特别是在与法莱尔的对手戏当中，总能令人发笑的法莱尔不但能衬出他人，还能使整部影片都焕发光彩。
I was born a baby, a blank slate, thinking I was in control of my own destiny. And then I met my father.
You better be glad this stuff.
In college, I wasn't the most gifted athlete, but in order to please my dad, I strived to be the very best.
Phil Weston is an average person who has had to endure his father Buck Weston's over-competitiveness throughout his childhood, an upbringing which has left permanent mental scars. Now middle-aged, married with a young son named Sam, Phil runs a small vitamin store, with Buck operates a local chain of sports stores. Buck is coach of the Gladiators, the most successful little league soccer team in the district. Sam is on squad. But to his dad's annoyance, his grandfather keeps him in bench warmer rather than playing him, a humiliation he also visited upon his son decades prior. Buck eventually transfers Sam to Tigers, the league's worst team.
You guys are great kids. You're unique with your own strengths and talents, and I should have been promoting that. And instead, I wasn't because I'm a lousy coach and I didn't teach you anything.
That's not true, Dad.
What?
He taught us exactly how not to play soccer.
Actually, Sam's right. That's exactly what I did. We just need to take the field, and you guys just do exactly the opposite of everything I've taught you.
一年一度的小小冠军足球联赛将要来临，在小儿子山姆的邀请之下，菲尔决定执教儿子学校的足球队猛虎队。起初菲尔并没有对输赢看得很重要，他认为从比赛中获得乐趣才是最关键的。再加上猛虎队一向是实力平平，每次都是垫底的球队，菲尔就更没有负担了。不过冤家路窄，菲尔的老爸巴克恰巧是联赛冠军勇士队的教练，对于菲尔的加入，巴克像是被注入了强心剂，求胜欲望变得更加迫切。
What else?
The most important thing is winning.
No. The most important thing is having fun and trying your best. All right? So let's get out there and do everything the opposite of what I taught you. Sound like a plan? Bring it in. Here we go.
The Tigers make it to the final where they face the Gladiators. At halftime, the score is 2-1 to the Gladiators. In a heart-to-heart discussion with his son, Phil realized the error of his ways. He tells his team to do exactly the opposite of what he taught them. Although the Gladiators score one more goal after halftime, they don't give up hope. Phil gives the goalie a vision test with glasses from the adults watching. From there, Ambrose scores one goal, making the score 3-2. After another goal, the score is tied. The team rallies and pronounces a spectacular team performance with win 4-3, with Sam scoring the winning goal against his uncle Bucky, using a move that he practiced when his dad benched him in the semifinals.
You know, I don't say this enough, but you really stepped up. I'm proud of you, son.
I appreciate that. The real Pele ball.
Yep.
I'm actually touching it.
Take good care of it. That means an awful lot to me.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Here.
What?
You keep it.
Oh. You won fair and square. It's yours now. You beat me, Philly.
Well, the Tigers beat you. I mean, I had a good time kicking your butt, I'm not going to lie, but it... It's not about winning. I thought it was. It's not. About you and me. You know, the ball is just a metaphor about the distance between us.
It's a soccer ball.
No, Dad. It's not about the ball. It was never about the ball. I don't want the ball. What do you want?
Honoring the bet, Buck tries to give Phil the ball, but Phil refuses, making peace with his father. They merge their businesses, realizing there is more to life than winning.
And now, an important message from the King.
Hi, I'm Buck Weston, King of Sporting Goods. And to make my stores the best they can be, I've teamed up with my son.
Hello, I'm Phil Weston. And I'm the Prince of Vitamins.
Now you can get all your health supplement needs at Buck and Phil's Sports Kingdom. At prices so low.
Okay, and that was today's movie introduction, Kicking and Screaming. And now let's move on to today's studio classroom.
Hi friends, welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Thanks for joining us today. Our monthly blog series about a young man named Luke continues today. Luke is a student studying in Southern California. And if you've ever had the experience of studying overseas, you'll know that it can be a very anxious time, especially with the differences in language and culture. In this section of the lesson, we'll find the must-know word professor, as in our history professor is very popular because he makes the subject so interesting. Okay, we are now ready to dig into the lesson titled Wearing My White T-Shirt, Khaki Shorts, and Flip-Flops. Let's start on page 44.
Wearing my white T-shirt, khaki shorts, and flip-flops. Starting my first semester. I was Friday on my first day of school. Like a kid going to school for the first time, I felt my heart beating fast as I walked to my first class. American universities do things quite differently from the most Asian universities. Here in America, we choose every class ourselves. In order to complete a major, students are required to take certain classes. Even with the requirements, students have the freedom to choose which classes to take, the class times, and even the professors they want. This was my first time sitting with so many Americans in their classroom. Unlike many other classmates, I sat quietly by myself.
Friends, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Chip, and thanks for joining us for this month's Luke's blog article. We're taking a look at the life of Luke as he has moved from Taipei to America to go to a university there in America. And last month, we saw that his time with meeting new students and making new friends there in American university was a little difficult for him.
Yes, he definitely has some difficult times ahead of him. He's going to learn a lot through these experiences, and we're so glad he's sharing them with us. Now, the title of this section is kind of interesting. It's describing what he is wearing. And, Chip, what is he wearing?
Well, actually, you can see there in the picture on page 44 that he's wearing his white T-shirt, his khaki shorts, and his flip-flops. Now, khaki shorts would be just a color, like a light brown or maybe a tan colored shorts. And flip-flops. I think we've talked about flip-flops. What are flip-flops?
Well, they're just like a very basic sandal, and I always think of the noise they make when you walk in them. Sounds almost like a flip-flop. And some schools don't allow flip-flops, and others they don't care. He's at school in California, and most people in California wear these basic sandals. They love their flip-flops. And he kind of has the classic American look right here, right?
He looks like an American university student, no doubt about it.
He sure does. And it's like kind of the classic look that if you don't have anything else to wear, wear the white t-shirt and the khaki shorts and the sandals or the flip-flops, and you will be fine. You'll be in style, and nobody will look twice at you.
Correct. So here he's starting his first semester. So here today we're going to look at his beginning classes. And he starts off by saying, I was frightened on my first day of school. He was afraid. And he says, like a kid going to school for the first time, he felt his heart beating as fast as, beating quickly or beating fast as he walked to his first class.
And many of us can relate. Often the first day of school makes most people feel nervous. It might make your heart beat fast. He's especially nervous because he's an Asian student at an American university. And as we're going to learn, American universities do things quite differently from most Asian universities. So he's already starting to notice some of the differences between the two.
And you would certainly notice this first difference that he gives right at the beginning of the semester. Here in America, he says, we choose every class ourselves. Now, that means that at the beginning of the semester, you actually have some choices to make. You choose your own classes, and you choose maybe the times that you want those classes to be and the professors. You have a lot of choices that you have to make yourself.
Exactly. You have freedom of choice. One thing I really like about university in America is you get to choose the classes you want. And in order to complete a major, students are required to take certain classes. So you do get to choose a lot of classes, and then there are classes that are required in order to complete your major.
And here we're not using major as an adjective, but here we're talking about it as a noun, the subject that you are studying and the subject that you will complete studying when you've graduated.
But even with those requirements that come with declaring a major, many students do have the freedom to choose, again, which classes to take, the class times, and even the professors they want. Now, professor is a very important word if we're talking about university, because professors are the teachers at the university or the college where you attend.
Right. We don't talk about them as teachers, but they are professors. He says, this was my first time sitting with so many Americans in a classroom. And unlike many other classmates, Luke sat quietly by himself.
Okay, so maybe he was a little intimidated because, again, it's his first time in a classroom with so many American kids, and he's saying, well, I'm not quite sure what to say to them or how to act, so I'm just going to sit quietly by myself. Now, we're going to continue Luke's blog in a minute, but right now we need to take a break. First, let's visit the chat room.
Welcome to the chat room. I'm Ken, and this is Vicki.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here today. So, Ken, what is your big question?
Well, our writer today mentions taking classes, and I've also heard people say taking courses. Mm. So what's the difference between the two?
Okay, well, the way it's used in the lesson, a class is the same as a course, which lasts one academic term or semester. However, class has a wider meaning. It can also refer to a group of students or a period of time that students come together.
So we go to class, but we don't go to a course.
Right. But you can take a course or you can take a class.
Got it. Class 跟 course 在定义上有相同的地方, 两个字都是指课程, 所以选修一门课可以讲 take a class, 也可以讲 take a course. 比如说, I'm taking 5 classes this semester, 也可以讲 I'm taking 5 courses this semester, 我这一学期选修5门课. 但是 class 有更广义的用法, 表示一堂课, This class will be over in an hour. 这一堂课1小时就会结束. Class 也可以指人, 也就是上课的学生. 老师可以对所有班上的学生说, OK class, it's time for a test. 各位同学, 考试的时间到了. So there are different courses to take in a university, right?
Right. There are required courses which a student has to take in order to graduate. But there are also elective courses, or simply electives, which are courses that students can pick and choose from.
So how are the electives different from the required courses?
Well, the required courses are usually lower leveled introductory courses, and they're often called surveys. The electives, on the other hand, tend to be more specialized and usually have fewer students.
So how do I find out what courses there are?
Well, you can get a catalog from the school, and it will tell you about the courses. You'll be able to find detailed information on the courses that the school offers.
I see. 美国的大学课程分成两种，一种是 required courses, 必修课。一般的必修课都是一些入门的课程，也就是所谓的 survey 导论。另一种课呢是 electives 选修课，这些呢是一些中高级的课程。那要了解一个学校有哪一些课，可以向学校索取 course catalog 课程目录，上面会清楚地叙述每一门课的内容。
Well, all this talk about classes has made me tired. We'll take a short break, but we'll be right back right after this.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, I'm not sure if you're picking up on this, but I'm getting the idea, the sense, that our friend Luke can be a kind of quiet and shy person. Certainly, that makes it harder to get started in a new school, in a new country, where everyone around you is fluently speaking a foreign language. Fluently is our next key word, and our sentence reads,When you first start to learn a language, it is difficult to speak it fluently. Our next word is not an idiom, it's the word idiom. As in, Sean uses a lot of idioms, so it is hard for my European roommate to understand him. Finally, the word disaster. An environmental disaster occurred along Alaska's coast.When oil from a ship leaked into the ocean. Okay, let's continue to learn about how Luke's first semester is going on line 14.
Wearing my white t-shirt, khaki shorts, and flip-flops. My teacher spoke fast, definitely faster than my English teacher in Taipei.I had a hard time understanding him. English, without a doubt, is the hardest thing I have experienced so far. Because I'm an international student, communicating fluently with Americans can be really difficult. Most American college students speak quickly, while using lots of slang and idioms. I therefore struggle with understanding in class and communicating with other students. Also,Reading and writing are equally as important as listening and speaking. When my classes started to get busier, the readings got longer, the papers got harder, and that's when real disaster struck.
Welcome back. So before the break, Luke was...sitting in his class, his first American university classroom, and all of the other students, he felt, were probably enjoying each other's company, whereas he was sitting by himself.
He was being quiet because maybe he didn't know what to say to all of his new classmates. Another thing he noticed was that his teacher spoke very fast.As many American teachers do, as it's hard for Americans sometimes not to speak quickly. We like to speak fast, and definitely the teacher was speaking faster than his English teacher in Taipei, so therefore he had a hard time understanding him.
Right, and I think this is a very common, a common problem, a common challenge for international students who are studying at a university in America. The teacher, the professor, is going to speak very quickly. And English, without a doubt, is the hardest thing that I have experienced so far, is what Luke says. And we're going to take a deeper look at the phrases in that sentence with Liz and Grammar on the Go.
Hello, friends. My name is Liz, and it's time for Grammar on the Go. So, where am I today? Well, since we've been talking about Luke's blog and his experience at Azusa Pacific University in Southern California, I'm back in Los Angeles again. In case you're wondering, I'm now in downtown Los Angeles, and the building behind me is Los Angeles' train station, also known as Union Station. But I'm not here to talk about Los Angeles. I'm here for today's grammar tip, so here's today's sentence. English, without a doubt, is the hardest thing I have experienced so far. Notice the idiom in the middle of the sentence, without a doubt. It is just a fancy way to say definitely. So you could say English is definitely the hardest thing I have experienced so far. Same meaning. Sometimes you might see the idiom used without the without doubt. As in, Stuart is, without doubt, the fastest runner on the team. Another way to say without doubt is without question. As in, this year's party is, without question, the most creative one I have ever attended. Now friends, I know many of you already know how to use definitely or certainly when you communicate, so why not try using an idiom to say the same thing? Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Liz with Grammar on the Go, signing off in Los Angeles. Goodbye!
Thanks, Liz. Well, since Luke's been in America, he's realized that kind of transitioning to the English culture, the English language culture, is a bit tough. People speak really fast, and sometimes it's hard to be an international student. And it's hard to communicate fluently with Americans. So that has been a difficult part of his transition.
And that word fluently is a good word to use because your goal probably in learning another language is you want to be able to speak it fluently. That means speak it smoothly, speak it easily. You want to be fluent in that language.
That's definitely most people's goal. It's hard to be fluent in any second language, especially if you start studying it later in life. So this has been difficult for him because most American college students speak very quickly and they use lots of slang and idioms. Now, I'm sure you know what an idiom is and you probably know a little slang, but let's take the time to define these words.
Right. Well, first of all, slang is very common, common words and phrases that are used, but they're not formal. So they're not words and phrases that you're probably going to be able to find in a dictionary. Even though people use slang all the time, it's difficult to find the meaning of these words in dictionaries.
And slang is different depending on where you live. Sometimes it's different from city to city or state to state. So he's in California, and people in California have their own slang. They have their own language that's kind of unique to them. And idioms are also sometimes hard to understand, even though idioms are a little more well understood throughout most America. But what is an idiom, Chip?
Well, technically, an idiom is a phrase or it's a group of words where, as a group, it has a meaning that you cannot understand just by understanding the parts. So if you understand all of the words in an idiom, if you know the meaning of all of these words, that doesn't mean that you understand the phrase.
I get it. Well, we know that Chinese has just as many, if not more, idioms than English, so we're pretty sure you're familiar with idioms as well in other languages, too. So, therefore, because Luke has to adjust to this, all the different idioms and slang that the college students are using, sometimes he struggles with understanding in class and with communicating with the other students.
And also, reading and writing are equally as important as listening and speaking. Now, listening and speaking is very important when you're talking with other classmates and when you're trying to understand your professor. But he says that reading and writing are equally as important.
Yes, and those are sometimes even harder for students. I know writing is not easy, even for native English speakers. A lot of them have trouble with reading and writing themselves. So his classes have started to get busier, and the readings are getting longer, and the papers are getting harder. And unfortunately, Luke tells us that's when real disaster struck. Now, what is disaster?
Wow, well, if he's talking about this as a disaster, that means he's thinking of this as a very terrible event. And often we talk about a natural disaster, a terrible event that happens in nature.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 第一个重点我们来看 fluently 这个副词。Fluently 是指流利地，例如 she can speak three languages fluently， 她能够流利地说三种语言，或者是 all students need to learn how to type fluently in their freshman year， 每一位高一生都要学会如何流利地打字。它的形容词是把字尾的 ly 去掉变成 fluent， 如果是对某一种语言能够很流利的话，是用 in 这个介系词，例如 Nathan is fluent in SpanishNathan 能够说流利的西班牙文。接下来我们看的是 slang 这个不可数名词。slang 是指俚语，俚语都是非常口语的，例如 The essay he wrote is full of slang， 他写的作文里面用的都是俚语，或者是 She was taught not to use slang in her language， 他被教导说话的时候不要用俚语，或者是 Buck is a slang expression from money， 钱 money 这个字的俚语的说法是 Buck。所以我们看的是 disaster 这个名词。 disaster 是指灾难或灾祸，例如 the disaster happened in the coal mine took many people's lives， 煤矿发生的灾难夺走了许多的人的生命，或者是 losing his job was a disaster for Victor， 失去工作对 Victor 来说是大难临头。如果是发生灾难的话，是用 strike strike 这个动词，例如Everything went smoothly on our way home till disaster struck. We ran out of gas. 回家的路上一直都很平顺，直到惨剧发生，就是我们的汽油用完了。Oh no, we're running out of time too. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Wearing my white t-shirts, khaki shorts, and flip-flops. Starting my first semester. I was frightened on my first day of school, like a kid going to school for the first time.I felt my heart beating fast as I walked to my first class. American universities do things quite differently from the most Asian universities. Here in America, we choose every class ourselves. In order to complete a major, students are required to take certain classes. Even with the requirements, students have the freedom to choose which classes to take, the class times, and even the professors they want.This was my first time sitting with so many Americans in their classroom. Unlike many other classmates, I sat quietly by myself. My teacher spoke fast, definitely faster than my English teacher in Taipei. I had a hard time understanding him. English, without a doubt, is the hardest thing I have experienced so far. Because I'm an international student, communicating fluently with Americans can be really difficult.Most American college students speak quickly while using lots of slang and idioms. I therefore struggle with understanding class and communicating with other students. Also, reading and writing are equally as important as listening and speaking. When my classes started to get busier, the readings got longer, the papers got harder, and that's when real disaster struck.
In an extremely challenging situation, it's important to try to find a ray of hope to keep you from getting discouraged. Friends, I hope you have an enjoyable weekend. Bye-bye, and we'll see you here at Studio Classroom next time.
All right, and that was today's Studio Classroom. And that's a wrap-up for today's English Evening on China Business Radio. This is Dong Ni from Beijing. We're going to see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
酷品经济学，
欢迎来到酷品经济学。今日查点：伦敦同业拆借利率（ （London Interbank Offered Rate）， 简称 LIBOR。 几家指定的英国银行之间，一年之内短期资金的借贷利率就是 LIBOR， 它由英国银行家协会计算，并在每个营业日公布。LIBOR 是目前国际间最重要和最常用的市场利率基准，全球使用量最大的是三个月和六个月的 LIBOR。
瑞士天梭表。